Hi, this is Steve Sheath, president of First Affirmative Financial Network and producer of the SRI in the Rockies Conference, the premier annual gathering of the sustainable and responsible investment industry in North America. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Gil Friend, who will be a keynote speaker at the 20th annual SRI in the Rockies Conference on October 27, 2009. Gil Friend is president and chief executive officer of Natural Logic. He's also the author of a new book, The Truth About Green Business. Gil is a systems ecologist and business strategist with nearly 40 years of experience in business, communications, and environmental innovation. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Gil.
Steve, it's my pleasure.
You know, you've been involved in the business of greening business for a long time. In the last few years, there's been a lot of momentum toward incorporating sustainable practices into business operations. So do you see this as a fad, or do you see fundamental changes being made in the structure of the business world?
Well, Steve, I see gathering momentum at a pretty much of an accelerating pace, driven by factors external to business and internal to business, many of which I think are so structural and so fundamental that I'd be very surprised if this is a fad. I know some companies think it's that, but the just one measure is the growing number of companies who are taking this opportunity on as a serious strategic business agenda. It gives you an indication of the depth and likely pervasiveness of it. You know, fads run in response to moods in the culture. Sustainable business initiatives are running in response to things ranging from changes in regulatory requirements in major international markets down to significant shifts in resource availability, the very large likelihood that we're hitting peak oil sometime around now, and the granddaddy of all these is the risk of significant change to the global climate, which has implications not just for people's comfort, but for people's health, well-being, for the things as fundamental as the locations of entire industries and significant shifts in capital flows. So I count these all in the department of big ideas and big issues that are going to have impact for a long period of time.
So, Gil, your business, Natural Logic, is in the business of consulting with companies and helping them become greener, helping them become more sustainable. How's business these days?
Business is good. And let me just correct you a bit. We're in the business of helping them become greener and more sustainable and more profitable.
Aha.
And more successful in business terms, both together. Business is good these days, or I guess as good as business is in the face of the meltdown that we've been living with for close to a year now. The interest in the companies that we're working with, the thoughtfulness that they are coming to us with, the depth of the problems that they're asking us to engage is significantly different than what it was a couple of years ago. In the background of all that, of course, is the significant disappearance of credit and uncertainty that is affecting every aspect of business, not just the sustainability component. But we've seen a very dramatic shift just in the last couple of years with regard to what clients are bringing to the table, the kinds of challenges they're posing for us and for themselves.
What a couple of years ago was more of your business or more of the requests for your assistance more of a greenwashing type of thing, you know, in other words, dipping a little toe in the water, whereas now it's, you know, real immersion?
Well, it's never been greenwashing, and that's the kind of business we wouldn't take. But a couple of years ago, it was very commonly that companies would come and ask us to help them understand the business case for sustainability. So very background, fundamental kind of work, briefing of executive teams, for example, to understand that business case. About 2 years ago, those requests largely stopped, and most companies were asking us to please help them figure out what in the world to do, how to substantively engage these issues on the ground in a way that's practical and effective. In the last 8 or 9 months, it's shifted yet again, and now the requests are along the lines of, you know, we've been thinking that maybe we need to have a sustainability strategy that is enterprise-wide and integrated with our business. Could you guys help us with that? So I take that as a big shift, understanding that this is something that is not separate from business strategy, that's integrated with business strategy, that it doesn't just affect energy and recycling, but affects every aspect of a company's life. One big stop is a common, in fact, pervasive assumption in this culture that green's going to cost me money, an assumption that there's some kind of necessary trade-off between environmental quality and economic quality. And this goes back a long way, and it runs very deep. If you think about it, I mean, for most of my professional life, I've heard companies lobby against expanded regulation, saying, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to clean up. We can't afford to get safer. We can't afford to do X, Y, Z. It's going to cost jobs. It's going to cost profits. We're going to have to move if you pass that kind of regulation, et cetera. And all of that lives on top of an assumption that these initiatives, these changes, will cost money and sap profits. Government often thinks the same way. Government typically will provide tax incentives to encourage companies to do to take actions in the public interest, with the implicit assumption there that companies wouldn't do this otherwise without those external assumptions. And sadly, NGOs have shared the same myth. Think of all the times you've heard an environmental organization or some other NGO say to a company, you should be willing to take a slightly lower rate of profit for the good of the planet. In fact, we've heard this from the SRI community for many years, people who are willing to take a slightly lower rate of return compensated by some social benefit. So all of these groups assume that there's a trade-off between sustainability performance and economic performance, and the evidence shows that it's not true, or at least that it's not necessarily true, that you can't make that assumption. As with anything else, performance is going to depend on multiple factors, including management skill and excellence of implementation and a whole host of others. But the correlation that green will cost you money, one of the first things we do with our clients is blow that up. Demolish it, smash it to smithereens, and then start from a fresh sheet of paper and ask the more interesting question, which is, how do we do the right thing in a way that's highly profitable and that builds our brand and that gains market share and that glues our customers to us and glues our employees to us and lets us make money and make sense?
Just a minute ago, Gil, you were talking about busting myths. And in your book, The Truth About Green Business, you undress a lot of lies involved in green business. And, you know, in this conversation, you're talking about myths. In the book, you're talking about lies. I'm just wondering, what are a couple of the other more significant lies that need to be blown up?
Well, there's we've got 52 truths in the book, and there's probably 52 lies that go with them, but let me just give you a sampling of them. One green business lie number 34 is, we'd love a green building, but we just can't afford one. Mm-hmm. It's a version of the myth I was just telling you about. It's the assumption that greener costs more. And in fact, the evidence is that a LEED gold certified building does not necessarily cost more than a LEED silver certified building. As with anything else, it depends on the intelligence of design and the intelligence of execution. Green Business Live 45, global warming won't affect us, so who needs green? Well, it's going to affect everybody in a variety of forms. It's not just rising sea levels, which will affect coastal real estate development. It's climatic regimes, which affect where wine is going to be produced or where major crops are going to be produced. In the case of the Bay Area, where there is a risk of, in the mid-range climate projection for this century, of all of our airports being underwater, the risk isn't really that the airports go underwater. The risk is that we'll have massive capital calls to protect infrastructure that we had never budgeted for before, and that has impact on the macroeconomy, tax base, and everything else. Myth number 38, our data centers aren't that big a part of our total energy spend. I don't see any savings there. Well, data centers can represent, according to some estimates, 2 to 3% of the national electricity load. There are a number of ways, many of them very straightforward, to reduce that energy load as well as improve performance of the data center.
You know, in light of your appearance at SRI in the Rockies, where you'll be addressing the sustainable and responsible investment industry, you know, what truth about green business is the most important truth for investors?
Well, let me give you two back in response, Steve. One is the one that we've been talking about, that there is no necessary conflict between sustainability performance and economic performance, that it's possible to make money and make sense. But let me drill that a little bit deeper. Because that's true, companies that ignore this opportunity, that wait for others to lead, or that more dramatically fail to invest in the efficiency improvements and responses to the market changes that are coming at them, we say are at risk for violating fiduciary duty to shareholders, that boards and executives may find themselves directly exposed to shareholder action for willful negligence in the face of inevitable trends. Now, let me unpack that a bit, because it's an aggressive statement, and I realize that. Management has enormous discretion, as it should, and no company, and frankly no shareholders, want to have shareholders sitting over the shoulders of management second-guessing every decision. That's entirely appropriate. But when you look at situations like the electronics industry response to the European take-back and restricted substances regulations of the mid part of this decade, where by its own admission, 44% of the electronics industry was unprepared to comply with license to operate regulations in the European market, representing one-third of global revenues, I would suggest that cases like that might rise, at least in some people's eyes, might rise to the level of a violation of fiduciary duty. This puts a completely different spin on the responsibility and the focus of attention of management in response to sustainability issues. And I think this is something very pertinent for the people coming to the SRI conference.
Gil, we're going to have to leave it at that for today. We look very much forward to seeing you, hearing you, and I guess the witnessing the dance that you and Hunter Lublins will do for us at the conference itself.
We're looking forward to that, too, and to the discussion that follows with the group you have assembled there.
Yeah. So my guest today has been Gil Friend, President and Chief Executive Officer of Natural Logic and the author of The Truth About Green Business. Thank you, Gil. I really appreciate your time today, and I look forward to seeing you in Tucson.
Steve, my pleasure. I look forward to it also. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.